Welcome back to the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Corey Majors alongside my co-host Mike Bassick. We got Alec Medford. Kevin is also here today as well. Also two as well.
I'm feeling good.
What happened to you two guys?
So, Mike, I still don't have my voice back.
I can tell.
That's fair. And doing this show is probably not the best, but I did get a whole bunch of new medication.
I saw all that medicine.
And the doctor that I went to yesterday, I told him like what the last doctor did. He goes, huh?
Okay.
And he goes, I mean, I guess that makes sense. That's the way it is in the old textbooks. And I go, okay, well, whatever new textbook ideas you have, I am here for that.
Alec, doesn't it make sense that Kevin would go to an old textbook doctor too? Like, it just seems like that would be
I didn't Kevin's know that other doctor was an old textbook doctor.
I mean, after we found out how late you caught on to wireless headphones yesterday, that does not
like
shock
the last
me.
2 years,
you got those textbooks that are being held together at the spine by duct tape.
Did you put leeches on your chest?
No, it was...
Or did they drain blood? Did they just try to get rid of the bad blood?
No, I just did the old style prednisone where you get like 6 pills in a day and then 5 and 4.
Lucy's taking that right now, okay. As a matter of fact.
And so, because I had to go to a care now, because when I got sick, it was like between Christmas and New Year's. And as you've seen all the things, everyone's like, I don't know. Are we working on...
Yeah, doctor's on vacation. You know what I'm talking about? My wife going off to Mexico during this time
you
of
believe
year.
Believe it. So yeah, what if Noah was sick? What are they supposed to do?
That's a good point. And he was. We took him to that care now. So the doctor was like, hey, we're going to try some different stuff. And I said, do I have to skip work? And they go, I mean, you don't have to. It would probably be better because I told them what I did.
And they were we get it.
I go, I missed all last week. And then the nurse goes, he's trying to get paid. And I was like, I mean, kind of.
Yeah. And, you know, if anything went bad, they're just like, just throw him on the wheelbarrow out there and with the rest of them.
No, the new doctor, he was excellent.
Yeah. So that's what's going on with Kevin. Mike, my guts are all messed up. I don't know what's going on. I have no clue, honestly. The doctors don't know, so we're trying to figure it out.
The show's falling apart.
Yeah. It's going to be up to you and Alec for sure.
And I will be honest, today, as of this morning, we shared this on Friday. My grandmother did pass away this morning. So I have a really cool... picture of a note that she wrote to herself back when we did our first show ever. As a matter of fact, I have a tape from our first show ever of our interview with Roger Staubach that she did. But the note says, listen to Corey and Kevin on the KNC Masterpiece. That's what it said the first time, and she kept it by her bedside so she would wake up in the morning and check it so that she would know to listen to the show. So thanks, Maxine. Really appreciate everything you were, because you're an amazing woman, and I was very lucky to be a part of your awesome story. We will dive into all the fun stuff throughout the day and look forward to hearing Mike just really do a Mike thing.
Weren't her and her husband married for like 70 years or something crazy?
Yeah, no, like 75 years. They got married at like 16, 17 years old.
Old days.
Yeah, like Kevin's doctor. And
could you imagine if you went to like your kid's high school and like 10 of the sophomores were getting married?
That's exactly what happened.
No.
Yeah. So
I would be like, don't go to this school.
Yeah. The 90 years.
I was at Duncanville. Some of them were getting pregnant. I'll tell you that.
Man, yeah, that happened at VA too.
We had to run a pregnancy in my class.
We had about three.
Did they stay
pregnant
at the school?
They eventually had the baby.
Okay. No, but I mean, did they stay at the school? Because we had a couple of girls at North Garland, because we're all Metroplex people here.
And we're all public school.
Who just kind of like went away for a year.
They went away for a year. Okay. Most of mine were juniors in high school, and I did not see them graduate. So
I think that they had to go to, is it called Pace? I think at Duncanville it might have been called Pace.
Okay.
Like there was an adjoining campus. Yeah. It was close to, it was still on the same campus that like if for some reason you struggled in the school setting.
Yeah,
that
we
had
that too.
I think it's called the PACE program, where it was like you go over here, you get your work done, you still get what's considered, I don't know,
but
a high school.
You're not a distraction to everybody else.
A high school degree, but if you obviously have a baby that you have to take care of, it's a little bit tougher to go from 8 to 3 p.m. to school.
Yeah, that happens sometimes. But yeah, that's...
You know how women are.
Noelle, okay. And you know...
PJ Washington.
And men can't have babies.
Look,
PJ Washington is in the same situation that Mike and Alec are in. He might be the only person left on the Mavs sooner rather than later that can do anything. Yeah.
When we get to Mavs talk, I'm scared to death about this season now.
Mike, last week, my combo platter was that the Mavericks will not win another game until Luka comes back. And so far, I'm pretty
good. Did you say that before we have a bulging disc with our other player?
I did. And here we are in this situation. So that's rough for everybody right now. But y'all want to dive into some football talk?
Yeah.
Or do you want to do some other things? How are you feeling?
I don't mind football talk because as I'm coming back, I'm just wondering. I told Mickey Spagnuolo, which he does not care about what I think at all.
And I kind of felt that way about me yesterday. Yeah.
I told him, stop calling him Mike. I will be here much longer than that Mike McCarthy guy. So call him McCarthy. He got here after me, and he will leave before me. So this is going to be interesting. We are now at the first time in Mike McCarthy's career where do I win this battle with Mickey that he refused to call the guy McCarthy? So on our show, I'm like, stop saying my name. I'm barely listening to you. And then when you say the name Mike, it makes me think you might be talking to me.
Okay, so are you like giddily waiting like a kid on Christmas for Mike McCarthy to be gone so you can be like, see, I told everybody.
I don't want to say I'm a Mike McCarthy fan. I'm not a Mike McCarthy hater. I'll say this again. I think he's a solid coach. I don't think he's a great coach. I think he's a solid head coach. Obviously, by the Chicago Bears wanting to interview him, it shows that people think he's a solid coach. Mm-hmm. Nobody wanted to interview Jason Garrett when he was in limbo like this. So I look at this and I go, well, in a way, yeah, because it'd be funny just to say like, hey, Mike Bacsik lasted longer than Mike McCarthy. In your face, Mickey Spagnuolo. Start calling him McCarthy and not Mike.
He loves the show. He's probably listening. Right
now. He can be listening. I told him and he ignored it completely and just called him by his first name. while there was another Mike on the show that was going to get very confused by the whole situation.
So McCarthy, his deal is up in a week. Where are you at now? Because I know there was a minute, and I think it was in there 3-6, 3-7, when you were
like 0%.
Or 1% or whatever. Yeah.
And we have a $1,000 bet because I was at 88%, but I don't have $1,000.
You screamed at me, so I don't think we have a bet.
Where are you at now? Because I think it's better than 50%.
I'm 50-50.
Okay.
So I changed my mind after the Tampa Bay win. And I said, I was with Will Chambers, and I was like, look, I can't believe this, but I'm changing my mind here close to 50%. I can't believe they beat Tampa Bay because I think Tampa Bay, I thought they were a better team. You still have Cooper Rush out there, and I get that they won that game, and they almost beat Cincinnati, and Cincinnati did make the playoffs, but I was like, Tampa Bay's probably going to make the playoffs, and they did. Cincinnati at the time was on the outside looking in, but they did everything possible in the end of the season to make the playoffs. They just didn't make it. And I was like, I can't believe this, but he might be able to bring back Mike McCarthy. That being said, Jerry's doing exactly what he wants us to do here is talk about his stupid team that sucks because...
Oh, my goodness.
This is the number one story right now on ESPN. It's the number one story here in DFW. And he already knows he's not a stupid guy. I can say whatever I want to say about Jerry. He's not stupid. He knows what he's doing. And he's doing this so that us Nimrods have to talk about his team after they didn't make the playoffs, aren't going to be playing on Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, and other coaches are getting fired. If he is firing Mike McCarthy, he does not want it to be part of the scrum of all these other coaches getting fired, whether it's head coaches, whether it's offensive and defensive coordinators. He did this with Jason Garrett intentionally because he wants it to be its own thing. And the other thing, too, that if I remember this correctly, he's not going to do it on a Monday. He wants to take away from the playoffs.
Oh, for sure.
So I don't think it's going to be this Friday, the decision. I think it'll be the next Friday is the decision. Is that he wants going into Saturday and Sunday's playoff games, the topic is not the Kansas City Chiefs or the Buffalo Bills or the Philadelphia Eagles. It's the Dallas Cowboys have brought back Mike McCarthy, which won't be that huge of headlines. Or
but it's still a big Cowboys headline.
And just think about how good the timing works because the deal is up in a week.
Yeah.
That you can decide one way or another.
I've seen Jerry do this now pretty much his whole career. Here's what we don't know. I don't know if Mike McCarthy is going to be back or not, but I know his game that he plays. It's a weak, soft game, but everybody falls for it because it's the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and what Mike's doing, McCarthy.
Thank you.
McCarthy is doing what Broaddus has said, and that is ensuring that somebody out there wants him. And so that he can take it to Jerry and be like, look, man, I got a deal in front of me. Somebody's interested in me. Do you want me more than them? And are you going to back off of any other things you're going to try and ask me to acquiesce to? And so that's where Mike McCarthy did. This is a smart play on his part. I don't know if it's his agent. I don't know, because Don Yee's a pretty damn good agent from what I hear. I don't know if it's agent or, you know, the connection that he has with the national media, McCarthy, that is. He's connected very well with those guys, and because he's been, as Broaddus was telling us last week on air, he's opened the door to the national media people and said, hey, I'll give you some insight into what's going on here at the Star so you can get your stories so they can look really good. And so those people have the connections to be able to leak a thing like this with the Bears so that he can get the leverage that he wants and needs.
I agree with that. Another thing just fell into their lap too. The Dallas Cowboys are the betting favorites to land Tyreek Hill if he leaves.
It's weird to me.
The Dolphins. All right.
That doesn't make sense.
Okay.
To me.
Tell me why, because I crunched a whole bunch of numbers. I agree with you.
Well, it does make sense, actually, because all the reasons that it makes sense don't make sense to me. He's a star receiver.
Yep.
He's a big name. It would be a massive splash. Like you put him next to CeeDee Lamb, all the Cowboys fan base is now rejuvenated. All those things make complete sense, which makes it not make sense. Because Jerry Jones, like, they went so far under and they've been talking about all the money they're trying to save. How could they financially do that is what I don't know. Why would they trade away the draft picks when they have so many other places like linebacker, offensive line, running back that they need to fill first? Why would they do anything to lose those assets in order to get this player who, quite honestly, I don't think is a great in the locker room all the time?
Sure.
A couple things that have happened to him, he brought on himself, for sure. And maybe they got blown up a little bit more than they should have. But it doesn't make sense for the Cowboys to be the betting favorites to get this player.
So I looked at the dollars and cents of this, because that's usually what it comes down to, right? Tyreek Hill next year is fully guaranteed what you would take on $27 million, which is actually not that bad for a wide receiver. But when you're already paying a wide receiver all of the money, that's tough. However, I just wanted to ask you if this would do anything for you. Clearly, it would drive up the price. The way his compensation is set up in Miami, you could have Miami pay the roster bonus and the option bonus. That would leave Tyreek Hill with a $10 million base salary, and he can earn up to $1.8 million in incentives. And there's no guaranteed money in 2026. Now, I'm of the argument that, is he going to play for that? Is he going to be like, I need you to guarantee some money on 2026? Because that's what he did to the Dolphins. But what if you convince, and that's the way it worked out, and they're like, we want a better draft pick. And all of a sudden you get Tyreek Hill for 1 year for $10 to $12 million.
This is the year to strike. You know, if this, and not, again, this isn't the strike like a union, Kevin, but this is the strike of like, if this is the, you're saying this is the year, I have everything put in place. And for this 1 year, we add Tyreek Hill to the mix and we got a great cake to go with.
It's going to cost you a second. Do you do it?
I'm not doing it. Okay. I'm not doing it. It makes a lot of sense that the Cowboys would be doing it because of Jerry Jones and the need to get back into it all. But I'm not doing that right now because this team needs so much more, and they've needed it. They've needed more for the last 2 years now.
And I'm not saying any of this is going to happen, but doesn't it fit into what Mike said the cycle is that the Cowboys love? Can you imagine the playoffs getting like, I mean, I know they'll get plenty of attention, but can you imagine if the Cowboys moved on from McCarthy and figured out a trade for Tyreek Hill? How much attention, not winning, but attention that would get this team?
Yeah.
Buy into us.
Okay. Well, you know what?
I don't know if you're not going to be here, Mike. McCarthy.
McCarthy.
McCarthy. Yeah. In this instance.
Yeah. Coming up next here hopefully on the KNC Masterpiece.
We'll have on Mickey Spagnola if they fire Mike McCarthy just to say, see, you wouldn't listen.
Coming up next on the KNC Masterpiece, power ranking, the NFL power playoff power rankings, because this one's going to be fun. Next on The Fan.
Fakes to Montgomery, sets in the pocket, throws, end zone, caught, touchdown, Detroit Lions, Tim Patrick, second of the night, they've got the lead back.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we will get into some MVPs and LVPs of your fantasy season because, man, there were some really good ones. And if those define the actual MVP story, oh, man, Lamar's going to get it. All right, Kevin, I'm dead serious about this. The power rankings time. This is power ranking, the playoff power rankings, as we'll go through the teams that are left. So we will not be looking to get to the Cowboys. All right. We're not trying to find out where were the Cowboys.
They didn't make it.
12th worst.
Maybe.
You know what?
Well, because
they got the 12th pick.
Yeah. That's where they landed this year. And I think maybe in the C block, it's time for mock drafts, Mike, so we can make Kevin happy because
I told you guys about this guy named Genty before the season started.
It looks like he's not the top pick for everybody at number 12. Ooh. So we will get into that in the C block at 1 o'clock today. But right now, let's go and power rank the power rankings. Kevin, we're going to let you decide where to take the playoff power rankings first.
So I decided to do something totally different with this.
You make your own?
Kind of. Right. I actually went off of betting odds.
I don't even know who the teams are.
Okay, so the Lions and the Chiefs get a bye.
All right.
Here's the rest of the matchups. Eagles-Packers.
Tough game.
Bucks-Commanders.
Boring game.
Rams-Vikings. I'm definitely interested in that game. Texans-Chargers. Ravens-Steelers. Bills-Broncos. All right, so those are your 14 playoff teams. Who's the worst
Broncos
team in that group?
That's the team that I don't think has a good chance to win their
really
game. Yeah.
I would not put them last.
Yeah, I'm in a weird place with the Broncos where I have so much more belief in them than I probably had more belief in them to start the season. No, not because they killed the Chiefs. I just didn't
expect. The Chiefs let you know straight away.
I didn't expect them. Hold on. Before we go any further with that, is anybody buying into this BS that the Chiefs sat everybody so that they didn't have to play the Bengals and that's the main reason they sat everybody?
No, but I do think it helped.
I think it helped.
I don't think it was the story. I think the storyline was more about them, but I don't think it was I think that they did like that Cincinnati didn't make it because. So
maybe that could have been like a tiebreaker if you're like, okay, and we can get rid of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I kind of do think
either
that.
A great quarterback, another great quarterback that enters the playoff picture over there, or you have a rookie quarterback who enters the playoff picture.
I have the Texans last.
Okay. So to y'all's point, Broncos
I'm down on them now.
12th out of 14, 66-1. Texans 75-1. They're 13th. However, they're both ahead of the team that I would put dead last. I think they have no chance. They're going to get slaughtered in the first round. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
You are out on them completely.
80-1.
I'm a huge Steelers
fan.
Damn it.
So weird.
Yeah, wait a second.
I wish I had more drops of me sounding like
that. Hey, can I ask this question? Don't the Steelers, don't they weirdly have Baltimore's number for a long time, or is it opposite?
It was that case.
Until
this last game.
Right.
And I think, and plus they've lost four in a row. I just think the Steelers are, you're right about that. I think the Steelers are spiraling going into the playoffs, and I think they're going to get their asses kicked this
weekend. Can't find any offense. Like, that's the biggest problem. As we were discussing a little yesterday, Pickens is a fantastic receiver. Russell Wilson can't rely on him right now. He looks over there and he's like, I want to throw you the ball, but it's going to go right through your hands. I can't trust you right now. Mike Williams is maybe their best receiver, and he's been an unreliable source most of his career. So until they can find some offense, it's going to be all on their defense, and that's too much of a load to put on a defense to say, just save this throughout the entire playoffs. They need to take a load off.
So the interesting breakdown of this is AFC dominates the bottom of this list, but they also dominate the top of this list. So Steelers, Texans, Broncos, who do you go after that?
I would say Buccaneers.
Okay.
I'm out. I know they won their division and everything, but I'm out.
Yeah, they lost to the Cowboys at the end of the year.
That's a good point. That's another reason I discount the Steelers.
Yeah. So
that's what I said, that Tampa, I wasn't with you guys for this. I like, they're not a playoff team. And the reason I know is because Cooper Rush threw an easy pick to them and they dropped it. And I was like, I've seen all the playoff games Dak played in. Every time he throws that ball, it's intercepted.
Yeah.
And I was like, if Tampa can't intercept that ball from Cooper Rush, they're not a playoff team. Cause I've seen the Cowboys throw that ball in the playoffs. It's a pick.
But yeah, the Buccaneers, they won the division because somebody had to.
Yeah.
Like that was essentially, somebody had to finish at the top of that one, much like the Texans. Somebody sure had to win that division too.
So the Bucs are actually ninth. It goes Commanders 11.
Okay.
40-1. Chargers 10, 35-1. Bucs ninth at 33-1. I'm going to give you a couple more and then we'll move into the top six or seven. The Rams are eighth. The Packers are seventh. And this is where you start to see big separation. Because from the Bucs to the Rams, it goes from 33-1 to 25-1. And then down to the Packers, it goes to 18-1 to win the Super Bowl. So you see big drops now.
All right. So I know you're talking. I know I don't want to get too specific, but I am going to get specific here. If you're the Eagles and you could choose your wild card opponent, didn't they draw the worst one? Like as in like the most wild yes one that could come out like we saw last year? Like I'd rather play. I know they're 14-3. I would rather play the Minnesota Vikings in the playoffs.
Would you rather play the Rams?
Aren't the Rams a division winner?
No, they are. Okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood your point. Go ahead.
Was it
I'm
a great division?
But I get you. Yeah. I would. The Rams, I kind of like them near the end of the year. They're a weird team because then all of a sudden they started playing defense and not playing offense, where I thought offensively they could be really scary with a healthy Matthew Stafford and Nacua and Cooper Kupp. And I just thought the way that Sean McVay can run an offense in the playoffs can get very scary. So I guess I would rather play the Rams than the Packers because the Packers, I think you could beat them by 20 points, but they might randomly beat you by 20 points because yeah, I do think in a weird way that they have kind of a Brett Favre-ish quarterback in Jordan Love where he could throw three picks and you're like, yeah, we got to play the Packers and they beat themselves. Or you're like, I can't stop this guy. He keeps hitting pass after pass after pass. And they're not just 3 and 5 yard routes. He's hitting big play after big play where I don't think Washington or Minnesota can do that to you.
Love has to be healthy.
Yeah, and that's especially since they lost Watson.
That's been his problem all season long is just when he's healthy, they're real good. When he's not, they're a coin flip.
Yeah.
All right, so we move into the top six. So the six teams left are the Chiefs, Bills, Vikings, Eagles, Ravens, and Lions.
I rank the Vikings the worst out of those teams.
Okay. Vikings are sixth at 14-1. And here's another deal. There's a big gap between fifth and sixth. So all five of the teams in the top five are 7-1 or better to win the Super Bowl. So just for y'all, how would you guys play out the top five?
I will play it Chiefs number one.
I'm going Lions one.
And the reason I'll do Chiefs number one, I get the year they had. I mean, they went 15-1, but I get that they weren't beating teams convincingly. They were, if you want to say lucky, I can see there were a few times where a field goal that they were going to give up a field goal and lose the game, but it hit a post and they win the game. But there were other times where they came back late. And here we are. We got to the point where they get a bye. They kind of got two byes because they got to 15-1. So they didn't really have to play the last week. They don't have to play this upcoming week. And then you have freaking Patrick Mahomes, who we've seen the last 2 years, and he's made the Super Bowl four times in his 5 years as the starting quarterback. This is his sixth year as the starting quarterback. I'm going to put him number one because of all of those things, even though I don't believe they're the best team in the NFL this year. I believe they have Patrick Mahomes, and I believe that they win every freaking playoff game they play, and it feels like.
I was going to say, if Mike says because they have Patrick Mahomes, I'll say he's right because that is true. But with the Lions, it's because they're as decimated as they've been, they've still been able to win games.
And they throttled Minnesota.
And their ability to run the ball sets up so much of what they can do with Laporta, St. Brown, and Jameson Williams. Their team is very talented.
So the Lions actually have the best Super Bowl odds at 3-1. But the Chiefs are essentially, I boiled down the fractions, 3.25-1. So it's razor tight.
I think that this is... in a weird way, both number one seeds. I get that they, you just named them as favorites, but yeah. I don't think they're overwhelmingly favorites. I could see both teams losing in the divisional round.
Okay, so you have the Lions and the Chiefs at the top. You have three more. Bills, Eagles, Ravens. How do you sort through those three? And by the way, like I said, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I will go Bills. I'll go in the order you named them. Bills, Eagles, Ravens.
Ooh. Okay. I'm still AFC. Okay. Bills, Ravens, then Eagles.
Okay.
Although I think it's more just hate for the Eagles that makes me want to put them down. They're very good.
I think the Eagles are going to have a tougher wild card game than their divisional game.
If they have an early, like they get down early in a game, I think that they might fold, because that's one of those locker rooms that I'm still not completely certain is in it to win it.
Maybe I'm too high on the Packers.
Because if the Commanders don't win, then they're going to get the Bucks in the second round.
Yeah, so that's where I think that...
Whereas the Commanders do win, then you're going to get Rams or Vikings.
Yeah, I could just see where if they can get by the Packers, which I know they're favored, but then I think like, oh, now they have an easier home game than what they just had, and now they, if they win, let's just say Detroit, because Detroit, let's just say they have the bye, they win their home game, and they're in the NFC Championship game. I think that's a very tough game to pick, Eagles, Lions.
So in this order, they're all stacked close. Ravens, Bills, Eagles.
Ravens over the Bills.
Ravens are 5.5-1. Bills are 6-1. Eagles are 7-1. So like I said, it is packed really tightly
in that
group.
That game's in Buffalo if they play each other.
I think part of the reason, too, is this is reflective of an easier first-round matchup. So like the Ravens are favored by more than anybody in the first round, even more than the Bills. And so I think part of it that's baked into that number is an easier first-round matchup.
Okay.
All right. That sounds good.
Well, I must be way wrong on Denver. I guess I just don't respect.
I mean, they're still 8.5-point dogs, okay. But the Steelers are, I think it's more reflective on the Steelers spiraling into the playoffs because they're 10-point dogs.
And I think a lot of things with the Broncos is their defense is good and they're young. And Sean Payton, like as a play caller, they have a lot of belief in him.
I guess also I just seen, and Dak does not enter this category. Dak honestly had a great rookie playoff game.
Yes.
But there's so many rookies that enter the playoffs and you're like, wait, what's happening to this guy? You know, and it's just, it is a lot and it is
I think every time a rookie's gotten in, Mike, and I've been like, hey, watch this. You've been like, yeah, but you've said the same thing, and I'm like, I don't want to believe it. It turns out pretty true.
Corey from the 469, please tell Kevin to take his ass home. He's making me want to throw up listening to his voice.
Oh, man. I don't want the listeners hurtful, to want to throw up.
But also, I want to know if anybody else feels that way. And for the person who told me to drink some green tea, I promise I've been
what's your deal?
Tricking it up nonstop for the last 10 days.
You ever had tea?
I drank a whole thing of the throat coat tea yesterday.
Did it help?
I drank it in two drinks because I didn't want to linger on it. Then I almost threw up, but I didn't.
And you want me to tell
I
you?
It was awful.
I listened to a little bit of the show yesterday.
You should think I was dying.
I looked at Sue and I go, Kevin sounds like crap. I didn't know you were right. I didn't hear you. I guess you weren't on Thursday or Friday, were you?
Nope.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Quitter.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that you weren't on Thursday and Friday, but I just heard you yesterday and I was like, ooh, he doesn't sound good.
You actually sound worse than you did yesterday.
Really?
I don't know how. Yesterday, maybe it's because I just over-talked yesterday and I was like, I'll just keep his talking to a minimum.
Sounds like it's time for the Mike Bassick Hour.
Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it is time for Mike Bassick with Baseball Nuggets, where we had Mike.
25 years in this century, who's the all-century team right now? And 25 years from now, who will still be on it? Next.
0-2. Here's the set. And the pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out on a fastball away. So a couple of singles and three strikeouts for Chris Martin in the ninth.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, that is Hall of Famer Eric Nadel. Colin, was that a couple of years ago now that Chris Martin was pitching?
That was 2019 season.
Yeah. Wow, it's many years ago. And don't forget, Mike, I know you want to dive directly into Baseball Nuggets right now so you get the full effect, but Rangers Winter Caravan Tour presented by Coca-Cola goes Thursday. That's going to be this Thursday. Kevin, snow or sun. It's going to be fun. Oh, at the fan showroom directly downstairs.
I might argue one of those happens. Maybe not.
Tolo's can stop by. Whataburger's available while it lasts. I know Mike loves him some Whataburger. They're just giving it away downstairs. The Rangers also at 6:30. Marcus Semien, Cody Bradford will be there to hang out and sign autographs. I want to make sure everybody on that in that group is still there. Free autographs, and then the guys are going to join Jared Sandler from 7 to 8 for 2025's debut of Rangers Hot Stove. And we just want to say thank you at the showroom. This is very awesome. You Tolos are amazing. Y'all show up and get some free autographs from some World Series champs.
I'm not saying that there's bad Texas Ranger people slash players, but there are players that are tough to have conversations with. Does that make sense? Where you're just like trying to get something out of them and they don't seem to be engaged in the conversation.
Like when we did our first interview with Wyatt Langford.
Marcus Semien and Cody Bradford are so nice. So if you're like, oh, I'm nervous talking to players or I don't know if they'll respond to me well, those two guys, Cody Bradford and Marcus Semien, are so nice. So if you ever like, man, I'm nervous around players, I don't know. If the weather allows and you can make it up here, you're going to meet two of the most cordial baseball players in the game.
When 2 years ago after they won the World Series, Semien's walking through the outfield with two kids in his arms. And I was like,
they were his too.
Yeah, they were both. Yeah, he's got like five of them.
He just didn't grab two random kids.
Yeah, it was his kids. And I was like, I'm not going to have another chance to stop him and say thank you. Because I wanted to thank every Ranger I could for winning the World Series for us because we're all kids that grew up here. And I was like, Marcus, you mind if I just say thank you? And he was like, he took time to talk to me, holding both kids and everything. He even shook my hand with kids in his arms.
Would you like it any better if he just kind of bowed? And he's like, you're welcome.
Just handed me a kid and was like, can you just walk off with one for a while and bring him back? Just entertain him for a little bit. I saw Noah. He ran around that stadium having a blast.
He did.
Now it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassick.
All right. So let's talk about, I found this very interesting as I was on vacation, is here are the best players of the 2000s so far. So this is kind of the all-century team. We've played 25 years. There's 75 more years to go in the century. And I found this very interesting, and I will ask this question. Will this guy be at this position on the all-century team in 2050?
Okay.
Number one, catcher Buster Posey is the all-century catcher right now, barely beating out Yadier Molina.
Ooh, wow. I think so, just because that position seems to have constantly evolved too. Kind of feels running back-esque.
He was that good.
They're going off of B War is what they're going off of as right now the all-century catcher. He has a 44.8. So I think that this one is up for grabs. I'm with you, Kevin, that it's going. These are all going to be tough, but this one is up for grabs. If there is a catcher that comes along, I'll give you one right now, but the question is how long do they stay at catcher if they're good offensively? Adley Rutschman.
Yeah.
Could Adley Rutschman have a Joe Mauer career where he does catch for like 7 years and then about 7 years into his career, he transitions to DH first base more? Possibly. Well, if that happens, then Buster Posey is going to stay here for a while. But I think Buster Posey is very catchable. This one is the guy who I think in the year 3000.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. 2000. Well, that would be a. That
would be 2100.
Yeah, 2100. Yeah,
is that
Kevin, get it right.
Is that a.
Yeah,
that?
He might be there for the millennium, to be honest. I don't know if we'll still be around. Not us. We'll be dead as a doornail.
You mean humans.
Yeah. But Albert Pujols at first base. Pujols.
Lock him in.
Right. Lock him in?
First base. Good luck.
Best hitting first baseman we've ever seen. Maybe.
Remember I said the B-War of Buster Posey is 44.8 for the century? Albert Pujols is 101.5.
Is that good?
The runner-up is Joey Votto right now at 64.5.
Wow, that's actually more than I would have guessed.
I just want to point out, Mike, we sometimes do read the YouTube comments, but a lot of times Mike gets frustrated that they aren't talking about what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do. So, by the way, he has, in the century, he has 703 home runs. He has 3,384 hits.
Wow.
So that I think he's going to be there forever. Like, I don't think that this one will ever be taken by anybody in the century. Maybe even in the millennium.
Do you think the rest of the infield, or at least two of those spots, are up for grabs, though?
Here's the one that really stinks. I don't like that this person is here, but he is here. And by a By a small margin, but he is. Second base is Robinson Cano, a two-time steroid user. Or at least he got, he could be used more than that.
I think that could be overtaken for sure.
But he has a B war of 68.1. Chase Utley is your runner up at 64.5.
Oh.
I need to look at this. I don't have this, but Marcus Semien might have a small chance if he, obviously he cannot, he has to have a better year in 25 than 24 for multiple reasons. But I wonder if Marcus Semien can eventually, at the end of his career, catch Robinson Cano's B-War at 68.1.
I would like to see that.
Shortstop. This was interesting. Barely beating out Derek Jeter and still in his prime, Francisco Lindor at 49.6. Do you think? Now, this is the
tough one.
You're
kidding me.
Francisco Lindor right now is considered the all-century shortstop just ahead of Derek Jeter. Remember, we cannot count Derek Jeter's 96, 97, 98, or 99 season because they're not part of this century.
This is amazing to me because, Mike, you've been on Francisco Lindor since we before we started working together, and I was always like, on him. I just thought that way about him. I thought there were other shortstops. The positions changed a lot because it became power hitter. Lindor can hit for power too, but
he's two home runs short of 250 and he's 15 steals shy of 200. So he'll easily get those this year as long as he doesn't get hurt.
How tough is it to hold this position though? Because
I know.
Is it Witt and Gunner and Ellie? Like you have studs.
Shortstop has become the premium offensive position in baseball. It's weird, but it's been happening for a little bit of time here. But right now, Francisco Lindor holds shortstop. I'm with you. I love Francisco Lindor. In the year 2050, it will be somebody else.
Okay.
Third base, our guy, Adrian Beltre,
at
89.5, beating out by a wide margin Evan Longoria. So this is our guy. He didn't play his whole career here, obviously. Adrian Beltre, do you think 25 years from now?
What's his war at?
89.5.
I think he stays.
Yeah, that's tough. And the third base position's kind of changed too.
Yeah.
Yes.
With the hitters. So yeah, I think he'll still be there.
That's pretty cool. Now you guys won't believe this. I know I'm running out of time here. Left field. He only played from 2000 to 2007 in this century. But he played in 1986, 87.
Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds is still, right now, he's the all-century left fielder, I believe. I'm not 100% sure, but I think he's the all-century left fielder in the last century.
And this century.
And he's still this century, too.
Wow. He's like Ronnie Lott in the all-decade teams.
In this century. Now, look, obviously we have Robinson Cano, who did test positive twice. We have Barry Bonds, who at least admitted, you know, under like, hey, I did take these things. He would say, I didn't know that they were steroids. But from 2000 to 2007, he has a 1.241 OPS.
That's absurd.
He has 317 home runs in this century. Obviously, he has 73 in 2001.
So you're putting him in this, but not the Hall of Fame?
From 2001 to 2004, by the way, he hit 349 with 209 home runs in that four-year period.
Jeez.
I'm guessing your center fielder's probably safe, too.
Center fielder is Mike Trout, and he has it by a very wide margin. Obviously, he can keep adding to this, too. So I think 25 years from now, gosh, I think Barry Bonds gets caught pretty easy, to be honest. There has to be a left fielder, a 59.1. I get how great those numbers still are, but it was a seven-year period, so somebody's going to play left field for a long period of time.
Is Ichiro the right fielder?
No, he just lost out to current right fielder Mookie Betts.
Yeah,
now, here's the tough thing about Mookie. He's moving to shortstop.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know for how long term. So, like, next year, some of his, because if you look at right field, too, you could look at possibly Aaron Judge, but Aaron Judge last year was a center fielder. So, you know, it just matters, like, how long can Aaron Judge play there? But and then also, you have to throw in Juan Soto, who keeps switching from left field to right field. And so, but Mookie Betts right now is your right fielder. Justin Verlander is the pitcher, barely edging out Clayton Kershaw. Oh,
that's a good guess.
Yeah. But that was a good guess. But you have kind of the three guys of this kind of century, Verlander, Kershaw, and I doesn't have his B war here, but I'm sure Scherzer would be in third place. I'm going to guess in fourth place would be maybe CC.
Okay.
But Verlander has an 81. Now, here's the tough thing about beating him out is he didn't pitch in the complete game era or anything like that. But if you look at the numbers he was able to put up, he was at least brought up in an era where you pitched every fifth day, a lot of things like that. I do think baseball's about to go to a six-man rotation. I think we're very close to getting to a six-man rotation in all of baseball. Every team is going to go to a six-man rotation, I will say, within 5 years.
I know he's not going to be there, but I think eventually Shohei will take DH for sure.
Yes, and so Mariano Rivera is the relief pitcher, but not a high number at 41.1. Interesting, Joe Nathan is second right now in the all-century. That David Ortiz at 55.1 at DH. And Shohei Ohtani right now is only at 28.7. They only count his B-war for offense, not for it. Also both. But
he'll
get it. So anyways, that's your all-century team right now for the first 25 years of this century. I found that very interesting. When I get to Mike Likes It, I will get to the Rangers bullpen, adding Chris Martin.
I like it a lot. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, Mavs go down again. But can this guy be the third scoring option? We do it next on The Fan.